11A, staff report.
I just came back from the annual NASRA conference. That's a National Association of State Retirement Administrators. It was a very interesting and informative conference. It's interesting to hear what's happening in different states and what different pension plans across the U.S. are dealing with. You know, in some ways, I feel like we're ahead of some systems, and in some ways, we're not so much. You know, it all kind of pans out, but it's good to get together with some other administrators. And
can you describe some of the nut?
I was thinking the same thing. I mean, all I think you want to do, but
what comes to mind? Well, I mean, I think just having you know, more automated correspondence in some ways. Mm-hmm. I think that you know, using technology in different manners than what we currently are.
Are there public systems out there that we could buy, for example, that they're using that would support our?
Oh, you mean system? Oh, okay, okay.
You mean software? Software.
Yeah,
you're thinking about buying another plan.
Yeah, you want to. Software systems that produce automatic.
Could we have a study on that first?
Contact Carl Eichen and see if he can help us.
Yeah. So part of it is also sharing, you know, some of those things as well as, yeah, you know, yeah, what sort of, you know, what features are you adding to your system? What companies are you using? You know, that kind of thing.
Yep.
I did receive a notice from Conduent, which is the current owner of CPAS, and they're spinning off CPAS to a different company. Huh? And I'll be having a call with them this week to learn more about that. But supposedly the team that's been supporting us with CPAS is going to, you know, stay the same, which it's done. You know, there's been a number of times that this has been spun off to different companies over the years. But the same folks have stayed with them.
Same parent company?
So I'll see. So I'll learn more about what that might mean.
Is it the same parent company or?
No.
It can be completely separate? Yeah,
completely different.
That's a little bit unusual with acquisitions, because oftentimes the acquirer tells you nothing's going to change, everything's going to be beautiful, seamless. And then, of course, all the key management changes and it's not seamless. So it's interesting that that's been the experience.
Yeah.
In your observations, how many states were dropping DB plans and going to DC plans? And has any done that and then said they have come back to DB?
So as far as what was discussed this weekend, I know that there's definitely some systems looking at hybrid or DC or different features of DC plans that they're doing.
In conjunction
as far as
with
coming back, that wasn't discussed this weekend, but I, you know, you've read about some systems that have, like they've gone to DC and they've actually abandoned it because of various issues. So a lot of it, though, is these are most of the folks there are with statewide plans. And so a lot of the funding has to do with what the state legislature at that time wants to do. So, you know, it really varies. But definitely there was discussions on, they actually do a roll call of the states, and every state state plan administrator gives a 3-minute update on what's going on. And it's pretty interesting, some of the things that plans are dealing with, you know, lower funded ratios due to, you know, employers not making the required contributions for a number of years, or investments, or, you know, the different things going on.
That would affect that, yeah.
Yeah.
Were there any that were, besides Illinois, were there any that were like 20% funded or?
So Kentucky's about 13% funded one of their plans.
13?
Their employer contribution is around 80%. And they actually had to reduce their investment assumption in order to pay benefits they needed.
Well, what did they consider? They're benefits. Okay.
13%
funded.
Not unfunded.
Funded. 30% they're going to be unfunded.
Well, that's a good point of clarification, but yeah.
But John, this may be an opportunity.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Maybe looking for a buyer.
That's what made me looking for you, John.
And then, there's definitely a shift in almost all of the plans that I listened to. and moving the investment return assumption down.
Down. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the flavor? 7, 6.5, 7.5?
They're definitely going towards, you know, 7.25, 7. There was one or two that was actually going down to 6.75.
Okay.
So there's definitely some. And some of them were doing, like, you know, 0.75% drops.
Yeah. I fought ours going down to 7 tooth and nail. I didn't think we should do it. I thought we should go at 7.25. And honestly, I'm glad we did. And I think it's one of the things that makes our system more sound than others and keeps our funding level up. And so there's something to be said at looking at that, even though the employer takes a hit. And it's tough on them, but hey, you know, it's going to bring longevity to the plan and keep people going.
I'm hearing 6.8.
Shut up.
We're doing an experience study next year.
Okay, so we can look at it.
And then also some plans are definitely looking at reducing their amortization period. Some had, you know, 30 or 30 plus years going down to, you know, 20.
See, Jerry, that was spoken like a true retired
ours
member.
Yeah,
right.
At
18.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like the idea of increasing the amortization. I mean, I like where we are. We did an intensive study when we were talking about that, and I just remember that that was a kind of a sweet spot that we could get into. So.
Well, it's indefensible, I think, that to go beyond the 18 years. If you recall, 18 was the magic number.
Right.
When you're coming up with an amortization based on a percent of an increasing payroll, what that means is if you go out to 30 years, you're increasing your past service liability. You're not meeting the interest requirements that are right now. Mm-hmm. So I think we came to the right decision.
So do I.
And yeah. I don't think another one's defensible. I don't think that 30 years is defensible.
Yeah, I don't either. I agree with you.
Our very own Paul Angelo was presenting in one of the panels there as well.
Was he?
About a couple of the new ASOPs.
Where is he? He hasn't come to any of our...
Funny you say that. That's a nice segue to my next item.
Good.
Siegel will be here at the next board meeting on August 22nd.
Good.
To present the actual valuation report for 17.
Good.
And then by the end of the month, the annual benefit statements will be mailed to members.
Okay. Item 11B, outside professionals. There are none left. So item 11C, trustee comments.
I do want to, well, I'm going to take this opportunity because I
get a filibuster.
Say it, that this is, you're on the brink of a new
record.
You're a record for a board an hour at 9:55 a.m. So I want to congratulate you.
Yeah. We have a couple of minutes.
It takes a team. It takes a team. And it takes Gail coming up with it. And I tend to that it facilitates it.
Scott, I think you want the filibuster pen.
So now Will's going to filibuster.
I have a 2-hour presentation.
Yeah. I saw the twinkle in your eye. All right. On that note, meeting's adjourned.